Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson, and I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, I'm Margaret Hask from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library. Happy New Year, everyone.
So they wanted us to talk about book groups.
Right. So what has your experience been with book groups at your library?
They do well. They do okay. I hate to say it, but before I started working in libraries, I was never a book club person. So it's been a new experience for me, and always kind of a learning experience. But we have three, and they're of modest sizes. Our largest one is our cookbook group, which like a regular cookbook, we talk about a cookbook we all cooked from and share food, which is a little different. And that one, depending on the time of year, if everyone's up from Florida, we could have almost 20 people.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
For our other book groups, we have about four or five people. And they're more of like your traditional book group. One's mystery, thriller, and the other one is pretty much whatever the book group wants to read at the time.
Mm-hmm. And who runs your book groups? Do you do that?
I do, yeah. We're very small, so I generally handle anything that is adult programming.
Mm-hmm.
What about your library? How many, and how's it work for you?
Well, we have not had luck with book groups. We've tried a couple of times, and they just haven't really taken off, except for our middle schooler book group, and that is popular. They meet every 6 weeks or so, and they decide on the book, and I order the book, so everybody gets their own copy of the book to keep, which is very nice because it builds the children's library, and they enjoy it. They meet in the evening when the library is closed, and my children's program director runs that program. But for adults, we have not had luck. I know that there are many, many book clubs in town. I belong mm-hmm. to a couple, but I have not been able to get them initiated at the library. Part of the problem is that the calendars is packed, and it's kind of hard to find a regular time to do it. How often do your book groups meet?
Just once a month. Mm-hmm. The mystery thriller one is new. The long-running book group we had meets on Saturdays in the early afternoon, which has worked historically for us, but just in the last couple of years, everyone's like, oh, a Saturday. So we started an evening one, and that one's starting to gain some traction. It's
mm-hmm,
kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. And how do you choose your books? How do you choose the cookbook? Is it just like a consensus among the
Yeah, pretty much. Like with the cookbook, I usually try to go through and read some like reviews. For the cookbook group, it's a little hard too because it's rare to find, like, say we had a group of 10, to find 10 copies of any cookbook in our
right.
library system is difficult.
Right, yes.
So we're usually dependent upon how many are actually in there. For the adult, the regular book groups, it's by consensus. Usually if someone has read it before and they recommend it to the group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With our mystery book group, it's kind of fun. Everyone takes turns, and someone has to choose. We all choose as a group, but they suggest books they haven't read before. So we're going in blind as a group. It's kind of nice.
That's interesting. That's exciting. Yeah, yeah. The one success we did have with the book discussion was it was an impromptu discussion about the women. You know, that novel about women
mm-hmm.
in Vietnam by,
Kristen Hannah.
Yeah. And that book was discussed so much in town, like at the transfer station and all over the place. People were talking about this book that a couple of people came to me and said, could we sit down and talk about it in the library? So we had kind of wasn't entirely impromptu because I did, you know, put out notices about it, and we sat down and talked about it. We had about 20 people at that, which was really surprising to me. But
yeah.
it was great, and I think that I will, you know, try that again. The next time we have a book that seems to be really, really exciting to people, maybe do, you know, a sort of impromptu book group for that.
That's
Some
a great
of the
libraries
idea. And around here hire people to run their book groups.
Oh.
Which is, it's a thought. You know, it's something that maybe we should consider. But since so many people are already in book groups, I'm not sure it's something, you know, that we really need to do.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's an idea, too.
Because there is an art to it. I certainly don't have it, but it is when you find someone who runs a book group well, it's like, oh, I understand. It's like finding a really good teacher.
Absolutely, you know? It is. Yeah. So we have people who do that. We have one patron who's very involved with the library who does that professionally. She runs book groups in New York City. And then I know other libraries around here have people who either do like a themed book group for over 3 months or something.
Yep.
Or somebody who's really knowledgeable about a particular book will teach that book for several sessions, which I think are all great ways of looking, you know, looking for books and sharing books.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, I guess because your community has so many book groups, and I feel like ours does too, like just personal book groups.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have patrons coming in and saying, oh, my book group, but they're all
right,
reading at home.
Yes.
I feel like there's a certain level of like, if comfort, like they want to do it where there's food and drinks and they're a little more relaxed.
Yeah, maybe. That probably has something to do with it. And it might be that, I know I've had some people say, I don't want to be told what book to read. So, so they don't want to be in a book group because they don't want to be told what to read, which, you know, I mean, we're usually all of us reading two or three books at a time. So that doesn't seem like a persuasive argument to me. But that is what a number of people have said to me. But I do think, too, it's just, people are already in two or three book groups. And and I'm not sure the library needs to fill that particular activity.
We usually have that same comment made, and we also have, well, I didn't like the book, so I didn't want to come. I'm like, those are the best discussions. Like,
right,
if everyone likes
right.
the book, it's so boring.
Yes. At my personal book group, I suggested a book. This is a new group for me, and everybody said they didn't like it. But
mm-hmm.
we talked about that book more than any other book we've had.
Yeah.
Usually we get off topic and we wind up talking about all kinds of other things, but that was the one book that people actually talked a lot about the book. I don't know what that means, really, but that's what happened that time.
Yeah, because I feel like if you all like it, you're just kind of rehashing the story, and it's like it's not really something to talk about. It has to be a little controversial.
That's true. Yeah. It was an interesting book. It was the biography of Margaret Wise Brown.
Ooh.
It's called In the Great Green Room, and it's an interesting book, I think, because it's this place in this history of publishing where you still have a lot of small publishing houses, and it was interesting to me to see how the writers and the illustrators and the publishers all work together to produce the book, because it's something I didn't know about.
Yeah.
It's fun when you come across a book like that.
Yeah. Well, have you read anything interesting lately, or is there anything really popular at your library right now?
Let me think what's going out a lot. We always have a lot of mysteries going out. That's really our big thing. I'm reading a couple of things. I'm always reading an Anne Cleve because love her. And then also reading, I'm pulling it out now to look at it, The Morning Watch by James Agee. And it's an old book. It was written published in 1950. But one of our book group people recommended it, so I'm taking a look at that. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. What about you? What are you reading these days?
Oh, well, speaking of book groups, our Saturday book group is reading Jodi Picoult by Any Other Name.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's my first Jodi Picoult book. I don't know how I managed not to read any of hers.
There's so many.
There's a lot. But this is her most recent one, and it's pretty interesting. It's about it follows a modern day playwright and a playwright from 1581, and how their experiences mimic each other. And the playwright from 1581 was supposedly one of the many playwrights that wrote for Shakespeare under the name Shakespeare. So, you know, it's very much about how maybe Shakespeare didn't write his plays and how he came about them. And, I mean, the evidence is compelling. I don't know if it's true, but it's been very interesting.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that one. And what activities do you have coming up?
Oh, let's see. Well, we have two. In February, we're hosting A Taste of Korea, a Korean cuisine and workshop where people can come. There's going to be a demonstration on how to make traditional Korean food, and then there's going to be a little documentary about Korean culture, and then we all sit down and eat the food that was made.
That sounds exciting. And are you having a Korean cookbook?
Well, this is actually in place of our cookbook meeting that month, but if I can get them to reschedule to a different day, I'm definitely picking a Korean cookbook. We haven't talked about it yet. We're going to discuss that next week.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, well, so that's February 8th at noon. We're asking everyone to register because it is limited seating.
Yes.
We can only have 30 people, and we're expecting it to fill up pretty quick.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. The menu sounds fantastic. It's on our website.
So
and how about you? Do you have anything else?
Kind of usual things. We're doing in January our storybook time with Rita Delgado, and we almost always have art classes by Colette Hurst. They're very popular, and she usually does a round of three classes per month, which is great. And we have on Saturday, January 11th, an art opening with Kit White. His show is called Hotspot. And his paintings, I'm eager to see them. I've seen images of them. I haven't seen the paintings themselves. But they start with photographs of California wildfires. And then he reproduces them, you know, onto a larger canvas. Mm-hmm. And then he paints over them. They're very dramatic looking. And I think it's going to be a very interesting show. It looks very interesting to me. And we're having a film screening, Journey of the Universe, on January 18th. It's an Emmy Award-winning film that one of our patrons knows one of the people who produced it. So we're going to have that film in a little question-and-answer period. And then we're also, we're going to do a little bit of celebrating of Jane Austen's 250th birthday, which is this year. And we're going to start off with a film screening of Pride and Prejudice, the version with Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden. And we'll see how that goes. I think we're going to wind up doing three films based on Jane Austen books. And we're going to do one live reading of interesting characters. We haven't quite put those details together yet, but it sounds like fun. It sounds like it's going to be interesting.
I'm a big Jane Austen fan.
Are you? Okay, we'll come over here.
I think I might.
Yeah. Are you doing anything at the library for Jane Austen?
I forgot it was her 250th. So I'm going to, now I will. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
We do have a children's program next week that I forgot to mention on January 8th. We're partnering with the Hotchkiss School, and they're having their students come here to do International Story Hour, where it's either going to be places that they live, kids who lived in these locations and or visited them, and they'll come and talk about the culture and their experiences there and do a little themed craft. So this first one is, of course, for the Lunar New Year, so we're kind of excited.
Yeah. So these are kids from the private school, the Hotchkiss School.
Yep. We've had a good working relationship with that school. Their students often volunteer here and do different programs, and this is a program that we used to do before COVID that did pretty well. So it was like, oh, maybe now is a good time to bring it back and see what, because, you know, we have those kids that very much aged out. So
I find it very hard to get teenagers into the library. So that's
absolutely
a great program.
Yeah, this is actually for elementary school age students, even though it's led by teens. Teenagers are the holy grail of libraries.
I know. in occasionally, but yeah, they are they are the white buffaloes. Yeah.
We have a Dungeons and Dragons group, which is slowly becoming an adult group because they're all going into college slowly.
Yeah.
But that was our most successful teen group that we've ever had.
I bet. Yeah, we've tried different things. We tried just different programs over the years, and they do fine, but they don't seem to build momentum.
Yeah, there's a lot on their time, teens.
Yeah. And our high school here, Hoosie, has a great library, so they don't really need to come here for their books. They've got them right there. All right. Well, it's fun talking to you.
Yeah.
And we'll talk again next month.
Yeah, looking forward. And I hope you have a lovely first month of the year.
Thank you. You too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.